Our text today, 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll be reading verse 1 down through verse 18. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to pass by." And a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray today that you would take that word, not through the words of the preacher, but by the words of the Holy Spirit, by the power of your Spirit, Lord. Take that word and press it into our hearts and lives. Lord, deal with us where we are. Lord, we may not be where you would have us to be, but Lord, speak to us where we are. Lord, let us hear your voice this day, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Depression is a serious condition. Depression afflicts many people. Depression is a thing that is a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual thing that afflicts just about all of us at some time or another, even if only for a short period of time. And as I searched the medical websites this week looking to find out a little more about that, I found some causes that were mentioned over and over. And just some of those were conflict, major events in life, even good ones, social isolation, and fatigue. And that's precisely what we see in the life of Elijah, and precisely why we find him in this depressed state, this state of despondency and fear here today. And you may say, well, that's Elijah, and that probably doesn't have anything to do with me. But I would remind you of our New Testament reading we've read the last couple of weeks. James says Elijah was a man just like us. So I think there's much that we can take from Elijah's experience recorded for us in the words of Holy Scripture and apply to our own lives. But what do we see here? We see Elijah, the mighty prophet of God. We see Elijah who stood up to the king of Israel. We see Elijah, the one who went into a contest with 850 false prophets and stood against them by himself. We see Elijah who prayed and fire came down from heaven. We see Elijah who prayed again and the 3.5-year drought was ended. That Elijah, we see him fearful, running for his life. For what reason? He's threatened by a woman. Does it not kind of put you in the mind of Peter? Peter, who was ready to single-handedly take on a whole detachment of Roman soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane, and only a few hours later, he is led to deny the Lord because of the questions of a little servant girl. All this shows us is that even the most faithful saints, in the right conditions, can be seized with unreasonable fear, can be seized with despondency, anxiety, and worry, and fear that come together to basically just paralyze them. Now, we can understand Elijah's condition, perhaps, if we look at just those factors I've mentioned. There are many others, but those seem to keep reoccurring as I look at these various websites. And if we look at Elijah's life, just in these last few weeks that we've looked at it, there certainly was conflict. There was a lot of conflict. Elijah challenged the king of Israel. Elijah challenged 850 false prophets. Elijah stood alone, basically, even among the people of Israel, who had all descended into Baal worship and syncretism. And Elijah had lived the last 3.5 years of his life as a wanted man. There was certainly conflict. There were major events in his life, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks. This mighty contest with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, with the king there looking on, and Elijah, by God's grace, demonstrates to the people that the Lord is God. Fire comes down from heaven after a very simple prayer by Elijah. And then he leads the people in slaughtering the prophets of Baal. Major events, no doubt. And that's probably exacerbated by the fact that all these things, all these wondrous things that God had done, seemed to have no impact at all upon the king. Didn't change his mind at all. Had to be very disappointing for Elijah. As far as social isolation goes, he was pretty much isolated the last 3.5 years, as far as we know from Scripture. His only human contact was with the widow of Zarephath and her little son for 3.5 years. And fatigue was certainly beginning to play a factor. He had engaged in this rigorous contest with the prophets of Baal. He had led the people in the slaughtering of the prophets of Baal. He had run before, outrun actually, Ahab's chariot all the way to Jezreel, over 20 miles. And now today we find him, he's gone all the way to Beersheba, running from Jezebel, over 100 miles. He's left the northern kingdom. In fact, we have the testimony of the angel, which we look at later. The angel said to him, the journey is too much for you. So he's certainly suffering from fatigue. He's got all the necessary ingredients, and all these factors, all these things piled on Elijah at one time led to his collapse. We heard his words there. I've had enough, Lord. I can't do this anymore. You ever felt like that? You ever been there? Elijah says, I've had enough. I'm ready to die. I can't handle this anymore. All these things had just piled upon him, piled upon him, piled upon him, till he couldn't take it any longer. How many are the people who struggle under such a load? How many are the people who feel that one more day and one more disappointment and one more struggle is just about more than they can take? But notice how the Lord first addresses Elijah's complaint. He sends an angel to give him food and drink. And he lets him sleep. Nourishment and rest is essential. Many people who are in fits of depression or weighed down with these heavy things, they often forget to eat. They neglect to eat. They neglect their body. You know, that only exacerbates the situation. The Lord comes and gives Elijah nourishment through the hand of this angel. And Elijah, strengthened by that, is able to go on another 40 days and 40 nights. He travels all the way to Mount Horeb. You know it probably as Mount Sinai, the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments, the place where Moses met with God. Elijah goes there. He travels that distance, another 200 miles, far from the northern kingdom, far from any place he had been before. And he goes to the great lengths to get there. And I believe that Elijah thought, this will be a good place for me. I'll be safe here. Far beyond the reach of Jezebel. In fact, no one knows where he is. He left his servant in Beersheba. He went another day into the desert beyond that, and now he's gone another 40 days down to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. So nobody in the world knows where he is. It'd be a good place for me. I'll be safe here, and I'm just going to stay here in the cave, locked away in my own little world. But the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Apparently God and Elijah had different ideas about where Elijah should be. Elijah has found a nice safe place, a place where he can withdraw from the world, a place where he can be in his own little spot and not have to deal with any of the things that are going on. That's what people do oftentimes. They withdraw. The Lord says, why are you here? What are you doing here? This is not the place where I placed you. But notice how the Lord deals with Elijah. First, he allows him to pour out his complaint. I think this is key. why are you here, Elijah? And Elijah just begins to pour out his heart to the Lord. He reveals his isolation. I'm the only one left, Lord. I'm the only one. And he reveals the conflict. Lord, they've killed all the prophets. He reveals his disappointment. The lack of covenant faithfulness on the part of the Israelites. They've abandoned the worship of the Lord. The whole nation has turned to apostasy. Lord, I'm the only one daring to speak up for you. You know, Elijah reveals something there. He reveals not only his geographical location, he reveals where he is mentally and emotionally and spiritually. I'm fighting a terrible battle here, Lord, and nobody seems to care. I'm doing all this, and I'm the only one who's doing it. I'm just ready to quit. Then the Lord told Elijah in words reminiscent of the words he spoke to Moses. He says, go out of the cave and stand out there, because the Lord is about to pass by in front of you. You know, as I thought about those words this week, I was struck with something I hadn't noticed before. It's, to me, it's beyond amazing. It's beyond amazing. Moses met with the Lord on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. The Lord passed before Moses, hit him in the cleft of the rock, covered him with his hand. Elijah meets the Lord on Mount Horeb. The Lord passes in front of Elijah. When we come to the New Testament, what do we find? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah speaking to the Lord, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just, if that doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, you don't understand the majesty, the glory, and the unity of God's Word. These two men who met with the Lord, and we see later that Elijah has to cover his face when he goes out of the cave. He's not taking any chance on seeing the glory of the Lord. And Moses, hidden by the Lord from seeing his glory. And then here they are, after they're dead, with the Lord, face to face, in all of his glory. There's no fear. They're standing there talking with the Lord. The only people who are afraid then are the disciples who are on their face. Isn't that wonderful? But then, as Elijah goes out of the cave, there's a great wind that goes before the Lord. Powerful wind that breaks the mountain in pieces. A wind that breaks rocks in pieces. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then there's an earthquake. There's fire, just as in the days of Moses. But the Lord's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. And then there's a gentle whisper. The Hebrew says literally a silent, thin sound. The New Revised Standard Version says it is a sound of sheer silence. That reminds me of Romans 1. Paul says the invisible things of God are clearly seen. Elijah heard the sound of silence. Sheer silence. And he heard it. He goes out, covers his face. And when he goes out, the Lord repeats his question. Elijah, why are you here? "What are you doing here?" Elijah repeats his answer. But notice how the Lord addresses his complaint. Notice how the Lord, what he does. It gives Elijah things of significance to do. Go back where you came from. Go back the way you came. When you get there, I want you to anoint Hazael king over Aram. I want you to anoint Jehu king over Israel. Ahab's still the king, by the way. And I want you to go and anoint Elisha as your successor to take your place. The Lord gives him things to do. You know, inactivity and lack of purpose only exacerbate feelings of depression. Withdrawing into your little cave and doing nothing only gives you time for one thing: to think about, they've killed all the prophets, I'm the only one left, the people are unfaithful, I don't even know why I'm doing this, Lord. You don't have time for anything but to be absorbed in your own depression. But the Lord raises him up out of that and sends him to do something. But this is, you know, this is quite common. You know, after major events in life, good and bad, people sometimes tend to withdraw. You know, after the loss of a job or the death of a spouse or a wedding or a funeral, there's this period afterwards, a period of letdown. You know, Elijah had a great victory at Mount Carmel. He put to death the prophets of Baal. But after the high highs, many times come the low lows. There's this opposite effect. And the tendency then is to withdraw and to not do anything. The Lord rouses Elijah out of that and sends him off with particular things to do. And notice how the Lord's commands address Elijah's problems. Hazael and Jehu are going to take care of the conflict. You're not going to have to worry about Ahab and Jezebel anymore. They'll be gone. And by the way, go anoint Elisha. He's going to be your helper, your student. Your work is not just going to fail. It's going to continue on after you're gone. There's going to be someone to keep doing what you've begun here. And notice what else the Lord says to him. It's other encouragement to him. Elijah, there are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They've not given in to the national apostasy. They have not been swayed from the worship of the Lord. They've not mixed the worship of the Lord with the worship of Baal. In spite of all the efforts of all the false prophets promoted by the king and the queen, they've stood firm. They've not given in, even when the prophets of the Lord are being slaughtered by Ahab and Jezebel. They've remained faithful to God. Those 7,000 that you don't know anything about. You know, they're unknown to you, Elijah. They're probably unknown to others. They're probably only known in their immediate family because of the situation. But what we see here is, even when God is seemingly silent, he's still working. His plan is still going forward, even though we may not see it. And that has to encourage us. That has to give us hope, I think, because there are times in all of our lives when it seems that the heavens are made out of brass. We pray and it seems our prayers just bounce off, that nothing is happening. Nothing is being done. God is silent. We're all alone. But even in that time, God is working, and God has his people, and God has his plan, even if it is never seen by us. It's a little bit like the wind, the fire, the earthquake. The emphasis is not in the events. It's in that gentle whisper. It's in the word. The emphasis is not in what you see. It's in what God is doing through his word, through his Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord found Elijah depressed, anxious, fearful, running for his life. But I think the Lord's question here is fundamental for all of us. What are you doing here, Elijah? This is not where I placed you. And this is not what I called you to do. Why are you in this cave? Why are you down here on the mountain of God when you're supposed to be in Israel? Why are you not doing what I gave you to do? Life is for doing, not for hiding, not for withdrawing. It's for doing. And Elijah wasn't doing. Elijah was running. But the Lord gave him something to do. The Lord sent him back, refreshed, having heard that little whisper, that silence even, being encouraged by the fact that there are 7,000 in Israel. You're not alone. You're never alone as God's people. And you may say, well, that's fine for Elijah, preacher, but that don't have a lot to do with me and my problems and my depression. But let me say to you, the same one who empowered Elijah, the same one who strengthened and preserved Elijah, is the very same one who gives you strength. Paul said, I can do everything through him who strengthens. Paul, who faced innumerable difficulties and hardships and pressed on. The same God that strengthened Elijah and Paul is the same God that strengthens you. We read earlier, his grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, God's strength is revealed. The temptation is when we can handle it in our own strength, we don't need God. And when we can't handle it in our own strength, we just get depressed. That's not the message of Scripture. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. The psalmist wrote, in my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus never promised his followers what many people are trying to promise people today. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. But take heart. Don't be depressed. Don't be frightened. Don't be anxious. Take heart, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Is that where your hope is? Jesus is that. You know, Elijah, left to his own devices and his own strength, said, I've had it, Lord. I can't do this anymore. I've had enough. I'm ready to die. Take me out of here. God said, not so fast, Elijah. I got things for you to do. Pick yourself up, get out of the cave, and go back to doing what I have for you to do. You know, get back to doing what you're supposed to do as a prophet. Get back to doing what you're to do as a servant of God. And you may not be a prophet, then I'm sorry. But if we belong to Christ, we are God's servants. We're His children. We are to be serving Him. We're not to be withdrawn in our own little cave, wherever that may be. You might ask yourself, where is it? Where are you hiding today? Maybe not that anybody knows. But where are you hiding in that secret place that only you know? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You need to come out of there. Because life is for doing. And as God's servants, we are to be doing. But we can only do what He calls us to do in His strength. And when we rely on our own strength, we'll end up just like Elijah. I can't do this anymore. But in His strength, we can do all things. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we all come to You at various times when we've had enough. The world presses in upon us. We have conflict and anxiety. We have many things that don't go just as we had wished they would. Lord, help us in these times to look to You, to listen to You, not pay attention to the outward events, the fire and the earthquake and the wind. Lord, let us listen to the sound of silence, for You are working every day in every way according to Your perfect plan. We do not see, nor do we hear that. But Lord, by Your Spirit, open our ears that we may hear the sound of silence, the sound of Your work in this world and in the world to come for our eternal glory. Lord, help us, we pray. We are weak and fallible people, but we are Your people, Your servants. Lord, we ask for strength that we might do those things that You've called us to do. Help us do them better and better day by day for Your own glory and honor. We ask these things in Christ's name, for our sake. Amen.